Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Marcia Cappuccino, Dr. Cappuccino. Some call me Dr. Mims. That's my maiden name after my father, the great Bishop Dr. Reverend James Howard Mims. But we have another bishop that's going to be coming online. I think he's already online for the Dr. Cappuccino show. I'm going to get right into it. You know, I don't like to waste time. The topic for today is time to put the teacups down and realize the world is in need of salvation. Well, what is a salvationist? Anybody that needs salvation. Someone might say, oh, I don't need that. You know, I'm living a good life. I have a lot of money in the bank. You know, I'm a lover of the human race. I'm doing good every day. I don't need that. Oh, yes, you do. When you talk about being a salvationist, that's someone that either talks about assisting others in the world, is someone that takes action to assist others in the world, and they know people are in need, even animals, of salvation. Saved from what? That's what it means, salvation. Saved from. Well, they need salvation from drugs. They might need salvation from alcohol. They might need salvation from an unsavory way of living. And, of course, an unsavory life put on display between friend, foe, and enemy. But now let me go a little bit further. Flesh and blood, so says the scripture, will not inherit the kingdom. And the master of it all cannot lie. What he said he will do, he will do. He's going to do. It's not a question of if, but when. We're looking out at the world of humanity, and we see that they need to slow down, pull over to the curb, and stop. You, the listening audience, will you share the message of hope and then take action as footmen to the rescue? Well, you're going to hear how today, because, again, we've invited Dr. William Harrison. As you know, he's a guest on our show. He has been a guest for almost one year. So as it stands right now, I'm thinking that you, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother, can take a part in helping the world, save the world, bring the world from self-destruction. Colonel Harrison, are you on the line with us?
Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino. I'm on the line, and good morning to you and the listening audience. I've been away for a while, but glad to be back with you all.
I'm so glad that you are. And I'm really glad because, number one, there's people all over the world running crazy. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know what they should do. They're saying the government is lying. They're saying preachers are lying. They're saying organizations that have been put in order to help humans and to make sure our world is a safer place, they're lying. So no one is listening to any so-called voice of authority. And we know that's bad. When you're trying to govern a city or a state or any facet of people walking on 2 feet, there's got to be, number one, there's got to be a belief in you and your system, and it's got to be a belief that you can right things right. You can make whatever is ugly, whatever is sad, whatever should be straight, make it straight. Dr. Harrison, as you see it, what do you think the main problem in our world is today? And we're just not going to sit up here and talk about a problem because we have some solutions. We've already established here that salvation is people with a tongue toward right action is needed to go forth, go ye therefore, go forth and give comfort to the world. Give words of redemption and then talk about the master player in this universe. What do you think we can do?
With regards to salvation, we certainly need to be mindful of that. You gave the good interlude when you opened the show, Dr. Cappuccino, explaining what what salvation means to be saved, and there's a multitude of things we need to be saved from, and ultimately we certainly need to be delivered from the power and penalty of sin. But one of the main problems I see in society is that we have removed ourselves from having compassion for one another. We're not willing to help each other. Help thy neighbor as we help ourselves. Love thy neighbor as we love ourselves. We live in communities, and some of us don't know our next door neighbors. We have to come to the point where we be more compassionate, more caring, more understanding, get to know our next door neighbor. There are people that need things. They have need for food, need for clothing, need for shelter. All this is part of helping to help uplift and provide and make provisions for mankind, those who can't provide, and make provisions for themselves. And there's such a dire need of that. And so the footman from the rescue. Footman to the Rescue advocates the door-to-door, knocking on doors and inquiring about people and laborers and see what their needs are and how we can help them and so forth. So there is a humanitarian need and should be a humanitarian outcry where we need to band together to help provide provisions for each other that are desperately needed. Otherwise, we're going to perish together.
Most certainly so. Wow, how profound. Yes, we're going to perish together. There's not going to be any winners. If anything catastrophic happens on our planet, there's not going to be any winners. The only winners that we can call winners is those by which Scripture says, he says that, I'm going to redeem mine as I sent my son. So when we talk about salvation, we're not just talking about something borderlining on ministry or religion. We're talking about people being saved from food insecurity. We're talking about offering salvation to those that might not have proper shelter. We're talking about those that might be living in such extreme poverty that they don't know where they're going to get their next meal. We're talking about people being unsheltered. Somehow, some way, bringing salvation to them, not so much by resources, but just talking to people on the street. I know an organization that do that. They said it's a lot of homeless people. They like it that way. They want to stay homeless. But what they do want to hear every now and then is something that has to do with them getting a better life, forever reaching out north, east, south, west. So it's not always about money, but people today want to see. They want to see a sermon rather than hear one. So these salvationists are those that are living a life that is a life of comforting others, helping others in their day-to-day activities, and of course, leading them to the proper resources. But it doesn't take a man in a robe to become a salvationist. The everyday, average, everyday man or woman, just by picking up the phone, calling, offering cheer, offering a prayer, offering the help. Do you need a ride to the barbershop? Do you need a ride to the grocery store? These are everyday people that can accomplish this, because most people say, well, it's not my job. That is the government's job. If anybody's poor, they can go get a check. If anyone has no shelter, no place to live, they can go somewhere and find shelter. That's the government's job. But right now, things have boiled down to each and every one of us being our brother's keeper, not just by the tongue, but by word and deed and by action. So as we see it now, Dr. Harrison, is there any methods that you might have tried in your lifetime to share the good news with people, giving them hope that there's a better day and that there is someone that cares about them? Just because, you know, he might be invisible, it does not mean he does not exist. There is someone that cares about the human race, because the Creator said, I sent my son. He didn't send him to play. He didn't send him to come here and try to rob anybody. He did not send him to come down here and dance all night. He sent him as a salvationist. I see what's going on down there, and I see even after the Noachian flood, no change, no progress. So you know what I'm going to do? All the way from Eden to Golgotha, I'm going to send my son. So do you think the Creator had that in mind when the word salvation was even penned, because that's the first instance of that. There's no other book talking about mankind's salvation. There's books talking about warfare and killing, maiming, decapitating of thousands throughout history. But that's the only place that you can find that word, salvation. No one's instant caring about anyone, because after a person is saved, he's going to need resources. He is going to need things that will aid him in living a decent life. I mean, oh, my God. A lot of people here in L.A. are saying, you know, if you get them off the street, where they're going, wherever they're going, how they're going to eat. Are you going to feed them? There's 70,000 laying on the streets in Los Angeles right now. And many are still trying to break their necks to get into L.A. I'm saying, turn around, turn around, turn around. But that's what's going on. Dr. Harrison, do you have any words to add to that? I know you do.
Yes, Dr. Capitino. There's a shaking going on worldwide and certainly in the United States. And let me use as an example the recent shakings or tremors that are coming as a result of the earthquakes in Southern California. That's a physical shaking. But there's an outcry other than the physical shaking from the earthquake. There's a physical shaking and outcry in regards to the 70,000 homeless that are on the street in L.A., also others. The word says that the master came so that we may have life and have it more abundantly, and not to destroy but to fulfill the law. What I see, Abraham Maslow, who was a psychologist, he said one of the basic needs, the number one thing that we need as human beings in order to feel whole, is number one, to fulfill our physical need, is food, and number two is shelter, and number three is self-esteem, number four is love, and then to be embraced by others. So if I'm living homeless, or if I don't have shelter, I don't have a roof over my head, I don't have food on the table, I have clothes on my back, I don't have something to drink. And there are a lot of people that are destitute in that condition in this country, the wealthiest nation on earth. We have to turn this thing around. We have to do something about it. We are our brother's keeper, as you said a few minutes ago, Dr. Capitino. And just me being contented with having a certain amount of sufficiency, whether I have a home, whether I have a car, whether I have money, whether I have a job, it's bigger than just me, I, and you, or the individual. We have to do and help others. And if we don't do it, the shaking from the earthquake is no comparison to the shakings that we're going to see across this nation and across the world, because as people get poor, then they become more destitute, and it causes crime. It causes not only homelessness; it causes other social needs and social diseases. So we gotta do something about it. And Fulton to the Rescue on our website advocates an approach to that. I'll pause.
Oh my God! Yeah, you just said a lot in a nutshell, and I really want to add to it. You know, if we don't do something, you're saying not just America but worldwide. Yeah, I'm going to say universal. There's some reports of unidentified objects lining up around planet Earth, and it reminds me of pictures I've seen of things coming down from heaven, especially in the aspect of Sodom and Gomorrah, balls of sulfur and fire. I mean, that city, Sodom and Gomorrah, was laid to dust. You couldn't identify even buildings there. When he said he's going to destroy a city, this particular God creator does not play. Everything was raised, and then they came behind that and poured sulfur on the ashes. He didn't want no trace of Sodom and Gomorrah because, you know, the way he created man and woman was what he wanted to stand for, the edict of time. And I'm thinking in our time now, a lot of people is not taking heed to that example of what happened. And we have certainly more people. We have 700, I think someone said, billion people living on the earth. That's a lot of people as opposed to one little city, which they said Sodom and Gomorrah was the size of San Francisco. I mean, my God. that means things could get heated up very, very fast. And when you talk about the Creator making way for what some of us call a new heaven and a new earth, it says in the Holy Book, for God created heaven and earth. So that means the earth belongs to Him. He can really do what He wants to do, but what He has done is held back His rage to give everyone an opportunity to look back and say, you know what, I'm a fool, I'm sorry, you know, I'm repenting. I'm not going to do those things anymore. I'm tired of them. I haven't got anything. I'm not going to try to live my life by fleshly pleasure. I'm going to try to live it according to the will of the Creator. Now, what is that? Well, it means you got to get into a book that talks about Him and what He's doing. And I know I read something this morning where total Christian compounds are being destroyed. If you're talking about being a Christian, it said this morning that they took a Christian up on the third floor story, threw him down off of the third floor, and then came down and then stoned the dead body. People are going berserk. I won't name the group that did it. It's not necessary. We just need to know that it happened. And this is something that I think people are not seeing in our world of today. If they're doing it there, it's just a matter of time when something similar happens here. And these kind of people that are responsible for doing things like that, they're already here in sleeper cells. If anyone wants to say that I'm going to serve a true living God over there, it better be the gods there. Whole Christians now are accepting another religion just in order to stay alive, because this morning the report says they're giving anybody over in this particular place three options. You can convert to our religion, you can move out, or you can be killed. Take your choice. And so the people that are trying to get up, they're not letting them out because they don't have a right visa or something. They have nowhere to go, but they already know that. So the three choices are narrowed down to two. Either die by beheading or you have to convert. And in another example that was discovered this morning via the news post is that anybody walking around carrying a Bible, they cut their hands off first, and then they behead them. So this thing is getting real. Those that are saying, yeah, I'm serving an invisible God, yeah, true to living God, you know what? They're going to get the opportunity to prove it. And right now, things like that are only taking place there because they don't have enough pushback. But over here in America, you know, there's still some things going on because the same article mentioned Joel Osteen. They went to some kind, they're being criticized all over the world now because him and his wife went to some concert, and it was put on by people, ISIS. Now, I'm not sure. I don't want to misquote. But they are being criticized. If you just Google their name, you'll find out what is happening with them. It's something that they did, a place they went, Lady Gaga was performing. I mean, it's crazy. So people are saying, you mean I didn't give them thousands, millions of dollars? I watched them on TV. I followed them. I've been over to Texas to this. No, I don't think his church is in Texas, but I'm not sure. But you mean I've done all these things on behalf of this man talking about this God? And this is what he's doing. So, oh, my God, it is chaos. And we're going to see more of this. They're saying there's another minister in Texas. He's a closet homosexual. And somebody's getting ready to come forth and say he did this and that. I mean, oh, my God, those that are not truthful, they're going to be slaughtered by the news. They're going to be slaughtered otherwise. And their flock, just like Scripture says, is going to be scattered. So who's going to be around truthfully to pick up the slack? The article says no one's going to be going anywhere. It's going to turn their back on Christianity and religion. That's it. God is not pleased. If to some, but to us it is. He sent his son. So I already know he could not be happy sitting there watching this. This is why Louisiana now is up underwater. They were saying at 3 a.m. this morning that there's an evacuation there. I met a lady over at Subway getting some eggs on yesterday, and she had a daughter and grandson there. And we struck up a conversation. She said, well, she's with me until whatever. Said that she has to get back to work on Monday, but there's no planes going into Louisiana. There's no reform to land. So she said she don't know if she's going to have a job or whatever, or either when she's getting back. I mean, every day there's something going on because God is trying to give the last ones the last chance. Either do it the right way or I'm going to tell you, you're going to perish. Not all are going to perish because he said a remnant, John on the island of Patmos in 98, the last remaining apostle, disciple, wrote the book of Revelation. All is not going to perish when God finally looks down and says, okay, this is it. I'm just sick and tired of it. You guys are obedient, disobedient, and so this is it. He said a remnant even then is going to come out because he says, as John says in Revelation 20, I believe, in 21st chapter, for I've seen a new heaven and a new earth coming down. Oh, my God. You know what? Any of us that know anything about God and the Bible or whatever, we need to be out there as a salvationist. What are you doing in your ministry, Colonel Harrison, Dr. Colonel Harrison, to act as a salvationist? Not just one that talk once a week on a Sunday. What are you actually doing?
Well, in addition to the regular services, worship services, Dr. Capitino, we have outreach ministries. The church has outreach ministry for seniors in the Southwest Community of Washington, D.C. Also has outreach ministry for convalescent homes, those that are handicapped and unable to help themselves, and this handicapped home is their home for the rest of their lives. And in addition, we're getting ready to start a new prayer band. We're going throughout the Southwest community, witnessing to people on the street, also encouraging them to come under salvation, become saved, and what are their needs, and so that the church is not in a position to help them, then we refer them to help agencies that can assist. So we are doing something. We're coming outside of the walls of the church. And we know the saying, to thine own self be true. So we are practicing what is taught. We're practicing what is preached. And we're being a beacon of light in the Southwest community of D.C., to try and offer people help and help save as many people as we can through resources and also bring them unto salvation so they can get to know God's Son, who's Lord of Lords.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds like a very good idea. I wish we had more of that here on the West Coast. But, you know, I was just thinking, he said, as far as saving people, are you talking about saving them from this final destruction as declared in the Bible? Are you talking about saving them from a flash flood? When you talk about having your people go, you guys are going out to save as many as you can. What do you mean? Save them from what?
We're going out to really pursue spiritually saving them, to encourage them to come into salvation. The spiritual meaning of salvation is deliverance from the power and penalty of sin. Ultimately, this world, as you've said, and in Revelation chapter 21, there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, and a new Jerusalem. The present physical world we know will pass away. So we're going out not only check on people's physical needs and see what we can do to assist them, but to encourage them to save their spiritual souls, because at some point in time we're all going to transition. We're going to die a physical death, and then according to the teachers in the Holy Book, there's two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God and there's the kingdom of Satan. And so we have to choose which kingdom we want to spend eternal life in. And so we are doing those kind of things. And that's our focus, taking care of the physical needs, but also offering them opportunity to have their spiritual needs supplied and taken care of and ministered to as well.
Okay, yeah, that sounds good, because I know my dad, who's a world famous bishop. He was the founder of Christ Unlimited Crusade. I went all over the Western world in America with him on buses, getting off of buses. He marched with Martin Luther King. Most of the pictures that you see of King, you see my dad and you see my grandfather in the picture. And I had them, a lot of those pictures blown up, pictures of him with his feet up on the bed in 1968. He was with King. So, I'm only saying that because the scripture says that he that, it says the world, as you said, heaven and earth, it's not going to be anymore. Well, I want to kind of check, do a checkup on that. Scripture says that, and I don't have the Bible or anything in front of me, but then from the heart, it says the world is passing away, and so is his desires. But he that doeth the will of God shall remain forever. So there's a promise of a resurrected group, even though those back in the centuries that we know, when salvation was warranted, they put the lamb's blood on the doorpost. And when the firstborn of Egypt died, they marched out after midnight. A million of them after midnight marched out of Egypt to get out of there. So what I'm saying is that God has always made a way out for those that are, as you mentioned, doing his will. For even though we're going to see a catastrophic end, as prophesied for centuries of planet Earth, but there's still going to be a remnant, because he said, I'm going to bring a Revelation 21, a new heaven and a new earth. So there's going to be people on earth, and scripture also says through the major prophets how that carrion birds after the great destruction is going to come from heaven and consume those. There's not going to be enough people around in that day to bury millions of people. Oh, my God, we could talk forever on this topic, and I love it. But those that do the will of God shall remain. New heaven, new earth. It says the world as we know it is passing away. I think that's James. But he that doeth the will of God shall remain forever. So that's where salvation comes in. You don't need any salvation if everything's going to be destroyed. And we're talking really great further insight on the what's called the end times. But this God, this creator God, this universal God says that, I want you to go ye therefore and make disciples. So I think the only reason why anybody calls himself a minister is sending people out. You're going to make disciples. We're not just going out just to, and I'm rushing another religion, just going out knocking on doors, just standing up there and quote 10 scriptures in a minute. Salvation has always been the key point. But as this particular religious group did, they said, he said, to go ye therefore and make disciples. So if we're not out there trying to make disciples, because if you make a disciple, then that disciple has to go out and make 10 disciples or whatever. So this was to be a fortuitous job from those that know what Genesis to Revelation has to say, major prophets, minor prophets, Zechariah, those that lamented like Jeremiah, the great crier. I mean, that is what is actually needed, because people are not listening to anything else. And he did say, and I know you preach this too, that in that day, strangers is going to be grabbing hold of one that they really think is a salvationist or a true man or true woman of God, saying, what must I do to be saved? So I think next week, I'm writing this, we are going to talk on this, what must I do to be saved, because now we're talking about salvation. Colonel Harrison, you have a book out, The Answer to Chaos in the World. I want to talk about that also, so be ready next week, because it's a fascinating book, and if it's not needed now, it's never going to be needed, and it is. Thank you so very much, Colonel Dr. William Harrison. You're wearing all those titles. I just love it. You are a true man of God, and I hope this show, the Dr. Cupertino show, oh, we got a new name coming on this earth. So thank you so much for tuning in. Hey, are you listening, audiences? You know, you're out there, and we're talking now, 1001. There's been a few hang-ups, you know, because you start talking about God, people get edgy. But glory, hallelujah, we're still alive to call on this great, holy, and untarnished name in the universe. Colonel Harrison, thank you very much. I do look to hearing your voice next Saturday, same time, on the Dr. Cupertino Show. All of you, have a great weekend. God bless you all.